The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worthy in motion.
It's like man coverage.
Mahomes rifles. Touchdown.
Boom.
He hits Watson for the score.
Good play, boy.
Wilson. Clean pocket. Intercepted.
Justin Reed.
Picked up by Justin Reed. He wisely takes a knee. And Pittsburgh turns it over. Back in there for KC. This is a 3rd and 5. Wilson under pressure.
Oh.
Wilson trying to get out of it. Cannot. Absorbs the sack. Kansas City gets there with Tershawn Wharton.
You know, that sucked, to be blunt.
It sure did. It sure did. And that reminded me of... of that Ravens JV game all those years ago. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Happy, merry day after Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Happy advanced new year. Although it doesn't feel so happy in a sporting sense today. It really doesn't. Starkey here till noon when we get you ready, starting then for Pitt's bowl game. Sean, how are you today? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Joe. I'm all right. I mean...
what was your best present?
I got a really big check for my mom. At this point, she just doesn't even try
money,
to get gifts.
Money is good. I got this.
I also got a McDonald's gift card, so I'm going to utilize that quite a bit.
Oh, beautiful. The biscuits are to die for, aren't they?
Have you had their holiday pie?
Yes, I have, and I like it.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. I got this nice golf vest. Do you see that?
Oh, that is nice.
Half jacket, half, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's unbelievable. I'm going to go test it out today by hitting indoors at Moon. Thank you very much. In the meantime, oh my God, and I just now was triggered on the other time Tomlin said sucks at a news conference was after and during, right before one of his other collapses. He said that after the Ravens JV team came here in 2020. And almost beat the Steelers on a Wednesday. Remember during the COVID year?
Yeah, that was McSorley played in that game, right? That was their quarterback?
Yes, he did. And it was a disaster, but the Steelers won the game. And I think somebody asked Tomlin something to the effect of, you know, what was the story of that game? And he shot back, us sucking. So we've come full circle here in many ways, I would argue. This isn't the first collapse under Mike Tomlin, is it? Can we officially call it a collapse? I mean, it's certainly getting there. If they don't win the division, it will have been a collapse. Yes. Yes, we can call it a collapse. Because not only do you include these three games, you include the ridiculous Browns game. You have to, Sean, do you not? That's part of it all.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And to your point, if they don't, you know, find a way to win the division, which seems unlikely, then you could definitely say it was a collapse. Now, would that be forgotten if they find a way to win a playoff
yes,
game?
Yes, it would. It would be. Blessed playoff game. Please. Please win a playoff game. But it still will have been a collapse as far as the division goes. So it's 3-6, and you can't get that Browns game back. But I'm not going to bore you with that this morning. I've been on that enough. Everybody gets mad at me when I say, if you win that game against the Cleveland Browns, who haven't won since and have practically folded their franchise since that game, then you're not worrying so much about this. You'd still worry about it. Don't get me wrong. When you're outscored 30-3 in the past three first quarters and your coach says starts don't really matter, that's a concern. When you're outscored overall 90-43 in these games, 90-43, that's a concern. But here's what I want to get to right off the top. You know, last week, I won't say I gave the full pony pass because that would not be accurate, but I came close. You know, 2 weeks ago, you got hammered by a better team in the Eagles. That's just a better roster. But they're in the NFC, blah, 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 you know, all that. Last week, listen, you have three quarters of your secondary out, TJ Watt at half speed, no Pickens. You're just, and plus, the Ravens are coming off a real bye week and then the Giants. So two straight bye weeks, and you're coming off, you know, a 15-round bout against the Eagles, in which they knocked you out in the 15th round. I could kind of get last week, but this, and I know the Chiefs are the Chiefs, but they don't beat anybody like this season. They don't beat anybody like this. You were almost back to full health. You had Pickens back on the field, not running his route and causing an interception maybe. But the Chiefs don't beat teams. This was their largest margin of win for the whole season. And you know what it comes down to first for me is coaching. Chiefs were in the same boat as you in this game. They're coming off games. They went on the road to Cleveland. They actually won on the road in Cleveland, which is always a good idea, isn't it? To win on the road against a team that is prone to quitting? Yeah, that's good. You should beat that team. They did. They weren't great in that game, and Mahomes allegedly got hurt in that game. You know, they have a hard time convincing me that guy has a high ankle sprain. Then they played a tough game against Houston, and then they came here. Two road games out of three in 11 days, just like the Steelers. Just like the Steelers. So Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin and Steve Spagnuolo and Artie Smith had the same amount of prep time, and wow, what a grotesque coaching mismatch that was. What a coaching mismatch. With that short a time to prepare, man, you better get it moving in a hurry, find your advantages and go with them. And you could just tell right from the start that the Chiefs were very well prepared in a short amount of time, and the Steelers were an absolute mess. Steve Spagnuolo knew exactly how to attack this offense. He knew how to attack those below-the-line tackles that the Steelers have. Their pass rush was unbelievable, unbelievably well-orchestrated. Even with, can you imagine if Chris Jones played in this game? He's arguably the best defensive player in all of football. He didn't play. Can you imagine if he did? I don't think the Steelers get a point. But they were so well orchestrated defensively, willing to give up, you know, a little bit of yards in the run game. Who cares? They knew how to confuse the Steelers, and the same with their offense, and maybe especially their offense. What a masterpiece by Andy Reid, who is, in my mind, indisputably the NFL's coach of the year. What a scheme they had, and a scheme it was. Guys running open right off the snap. Like it was, to me, that's the word that comes to mind. It was a scheme game from Andy Reid. I don't know whether it was the pre-snap motion, as Nate Burleson said on Netflix. It was misdirection running plays, like the one for a touchdown, where everybody follows Worthy. Coming around the end, and then Kelsey pulls, a guard pulls, beautiful misdirection, easy touchdown. Guys running open right off the snap. Best way to beat a pass rush is a short passing game, and who's better than that than Patrick Mahomes? Who's better ever? Who's better ever at that than Patrick Mahomes? And while I give him immense credit for the game he played, man, I think a lot of quarterbacks could have made those throws, don't you? Just guys running wide open against an utterly confused and embarrassing Steeler defense. That was a coaching game. Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo won that game before it ever started. Before it ever started. And now you look at Mahomes' numbers, and you know what it reminds me of? Speaking of getting horrifically out-coached and out-schemed, is what Brady, Belichick, and the Patriots used to do to this outfit. You go back and you look at some of Tom Brady's numbers against the Steelers, especially in Foxborough. It's mind-blowing. It's like 28 touchdowns, no interceptions, never lost, things like that in Foxborough. Passer rating through the roof. Well, now you have Mahomes against the Steelers. And here's the thing, because the comeback from the apologists would be, well, Mahomes does this to everybody. Brady did that to everybody. Go look at Brady's numbers against this team, against Mike Tomlin's defenses, compared to every other one. And the only one that might be close is Buffalo, and they were bad every year of Brady's career, practically. Yes, Mahomes is great against everybody. He's not this kind of great. Check out these numbers. 4-0, completes 78% of his passes. In other words, he never misses. For an average of 327 yards per game, 17 touchdowns, one interception, and an average final score of 37-19. It's just, you can't keep a game close against him? I mean, really? You get out-coached that badly? And Mike Tomlin is big on starts don't matter. It's the end of the game, not the start. I'd love for the Steelers to test that theory by actually getting off to a good start against a good team. As I mentioned, they've been outscored 30-3 in the last three first quarters. 30-3, which speaks of what? You don't have to be like an X's and O's genius to know that that speaks to an unprepared football team against prepared football teams, period. I think you spend your whole week charting yourself to try to get off to a good start. Because the history of sports, whether it's a peewee soccer game or an NFL football game, is that the team that grabs an early lead usually wins. Not always. I kind of get what Tomlin's saying. I know. But you literally script your first how many plays if you're an NFL offensive coordinator. You literally prepare for Andy Reid scripting his first number of plays if you're a defensive coordinator, which Tomlin de facto wise is. And they got absolutely embarrassed on the coaching front. It's as big of a coaching mismatch as you'll see in the league this season, considering the time frame. Like, you were really going to have to get it together in a hurry for a good opponent. Well, a great opponent, I guess, if you're the Steelers. And if you're the Chiefs, it's looking more like you were getting ready for a mediocre opponent. I mean, this is just so disappointing, devastating even, to look like a JV outfit, as Tomlin admitted after the game, then to have your players, you know, spouting off after the game, not even spouting off, just saying, we don't know what the hell we're doing, is basically what they've said the last two games defensively. And again, last week, when you're missing three quarters of your secondary and Watt's compromised and Ogunjobi's out, you know, I sort of expect that against Michael Jordan, who is Lamar Jackson. This week, against an offense that hasn't scored 30, was that their high for the season? Did they score 29 even? No, they hadn't even. That was their high for the season, the Chiefs. And you got the feeling, and so did I, that they could have scored 50 if they wanted, right? I mean, Andy Reid was going to scheme people open against this harebrained operation as much and as long as he wanted. They could have done anything they wanted. Mahomes, 320 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. completed 76% of his passes. I guess that's down from what he normally does against the Steelers. And 127.1 rating. No pass rush to speak of whatsoever. Whatsoever. So, just a disaster. A total embarrassment. And now you have to ask the question, are they going to win another game? Are they going to win another game? You're going to have the Bengals coming in here. If they beat Denver, they're going to have something to play for in that week, in the final weekend. 412-928-9370. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, the six-pack, brought to you by Bet365. I've been saying for probably 8 or 9 weeks that I am certainly not predicting the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl. But I have said consistently that, unlike in previous years, I think they have a better chance to win a playoff game, that they can hang with these teams, and it would take something dramatic to move me off that position. Something dramatic has happened. They just faced the best teams in the league, the most talented. And now you know, by the way, why everybody, even when the Ravens were two games behind the Steelers, were saying the Ravens are by far a bigger threat to get to the Super Bowl. It's because of their quarterback and their overall talent level. And by the way, they're playing very good defense at the moment. They made a coaching adjustment, a big coaching adjustment. When their defense stunk earlier this season, they brought in Dean Pease as a former coordinator, as a consultant. And who knows, maybe the coordinator, the working coordinator, I don't know how it works, the division of labor in Baltimore, but man, are they playing good defense right now. And that team, I mean, to me, it's looking like, unless they meet up before the AFC Championship, which they could, the two best teams are Baltimore and Kansas City. And the Steelers are not in that class. Could they win a first-round game? Could they get it together here with a break, whatever it is, 10, 11 days, I don't know what it is, and beat Cincinnati and put on a good performance? Yes, they could. Could they win a first-round playoff game? I think they could. But that one and done is the ceiling on these Steelers, and I wouldn't even bet on that. The smart bet right now is none and done. And then we can have our annual Mike Tomlin conversation. They'll probably extend him by 10 years about whether, you know, a good coach is good enough to keep around. And national media people like Jason LaCanfora, like Michael Silver, like Rich Eisen will tell everybody, you're crazy. What are you people in Pittsburgh smoking? You have a miracle worker of a coach. A miracle worker. This guy gets to the playoffs with Mason Rudolph. This guy never has a losing season. But what about the other side of it is what I always wonder. And again, you know, it's back to Mike Tomlin and the inconvenient truth. Because he's a guy that you want to love, that you do love. You watch him on Netflix, he's a character you fall in love with. Compelling character, great speaker, highly intelligent man, really good football coach. But is he still good for this franchise? That's the conversation we're going to be having. If they're one and done again, especially if they're non-competitive again. He's a good football coach. He's a likable character. Players love him. Media loves him. The camera loves him, as you found from Netflix. Good man, good coach. But then we have to contend with the inconvenient truth. And the inconvenient truth is that he never wins big games anymore. If by big game we mean playoff game, he literally never wins them anymore. It's not fun to talk about. In fact, it's very inconvenient because it doesn't fit the overall national narrative pushed by the Rich Eisens and Jay Glazers and Michael Silvers and Jason Lockenfors. That not only see, they think everybody in Pittsburgh's going overboard, and maybe some are, but they're actually the ones who I think maybe even do Tomlin a disservice by painting him as an all-time legend, miracle worker, greatest coach ever, one of them. Who's better? I don't know. Somebody who didn't go 8 years without coming close to winning a playoff game, which is a distinct possibility here. And it's not just that. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Three playoff wins. It'll be three playoff wins in 14 years. Just contemplate that for a minute. It would be three playoff wins in 14 years and none in eight. So I would ask Michael Silver and Jason Lockenfora and Rich Eisen and Jay Glazer, where's the miracle? You know, less than that, on a much lesser scale, where is a competitive playoff win? I mean, I'm sorry, a competitive playoff performance. Forget about a win for now. How about just competing in a playoff game? And I'll tell you, these last three outings do not inspire confidence that they're even going to be competitive in one. Is there a middle ground between the vitriol I see on social media, like Tomlin should be fired today, which is going overboard on that end, and the Tomlin is a legend and a miracle worker that those guys are pushing? Is there somewhere a middle ground where you have a coach that it's really hard to decide what you think in the end they should do? Because, you know, he could still win 11 games here. Who fires an 11-win coach who won double digits last year? On the other hand, what's the number that's too many years without even a competitive playoff game? If it's about to be eight, is it 10? That Jason Lockenfora says, is it 15? 20? Anybody for 20? Like, how many? And that's where the confusion comes in. There has to be a middle ground. Michael Silver wrote that piece a few weeks back when Tomlin was everybody's coach of the year. Not Andy Reid, but Tomlin. Not another guy, but Tomlin. And he was doing a good job at that point, but he had yet to really face the proving ground of his schedule. And at that point, Michael Silver wrote about Tomlin. Everybody's writing about Tomlin, that when the criticism arises in Pittsburgh, people around the NFL just roll their eyes. It's the arrogance with which people defend Tomlin that I find to be really off-putting. Like, how dare you have a critical word to say about Mike Tomlin's track record? Guy raising his hand in the back. Okay, I don't mean this to sound critical, but can I say something to you guys? He's on the verge of not winning a playoff game in 8 years. He hasn't been competitive in a playoff game in 7 years. He's on the verge of having only won three playoff games in 14 years. And two of them were against A.J. McCarron and Matt Moore. I'm sorry, I'll sit back down in the back here and won't say another peep. I'm sorry if that sounded critical to the national media.
The thing that the national media says so often, Joe, is that this guy would get a job in, 5 minutes if he were to leave Pittsburgh, which might be true. But, like, we just saw Bill Belichick unable to get a job in the NFL after he had even more recent success than Tomlin did.
Yeah, I mean, let's look around the league and see who else would get a job in 5 minutes. You know, Andy Reid surely would. John Harbaugh would. Sean Payton's doing a nice job. John Harbaugh would. Dan Quinn appears to be doing. You think Dan Campbell would get a job in 5 minutes? You think Kevin O'Connell and his 13-2 Vikings, you think he would get a job? You think Matt LaFleur, an offensive whiz who's overseen The changing of the guard in Green Bay, losing a franchise quarterback and developing another one, sits here at 11-4. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Matt LaFleur would get a job in 5 minutes. Sean McVay, it goes without saying, would get a job in 5 minutes. So that's fine. And the discussion here is not, is Mike Tomlin a good football coach? He is. And he would get a job in 5 minutes. It's is he the right coach for here? And we have this discussion every year. We have this discussion every year. And again, I'll be the first to admit that I haven't said fire him. Really one time, I don't think, on this show or in print. Because he wins just enough to keep that off the table for me. There's still a decent chance. In fact, I think the Steelers still will beat Cincinnati. I do. And who fires an 11-win playoff coach? But then there's the inconvenient truth that we must deal with, Sean. And man, I mean, coming off a game like yesterday, you can understand why people are down on the coaching. Because that was a clinic on a short week. That was a clinic on both sides of the ball. And even special teams, I might add. They had a couple good returns. You can tell they were quick punting a couple times. They were prepared for the Steelers to try to make a special teams play, which the Steelers have done multiple times this year and in recent years under Danny Smith and Tomlin. The Chiefs are prepared for everything, man. You talk about taking care of the details. What a wonderfully coached team that is. Seriously, Steve Spagnuolo and that defense. They haven't scored 30 points once. You ever see the graphic they put up there, Sean?
They got to exactly 30 points earlier this season. So that was their high watermark. But I think what we heard after the game, and I'm sure we're going to hear some of these later, is Steelers players saying stuff that kind of indicated that maybe they're starting to wonder if they're coaches have them fully prepared.
You're right. Yeah, they haven't scored more than 30, and they haven't scored 30 in regulation. They haven't scored 30 points in regulation. Oh, yeah, they did once against Carolina. Does that count if you score 30 points?
Carolina's not a very good team.
So the graphic is more than 30. Teams that haven't scored more than 30 points this season, they throw up this graphic all the time. And it's like the dregs of the league, the Giants and teams like that. And the Chiefs are in there at 15-1. And by the way, as an aside, I've been saying for weeks that Andy Reid should be the runaway winner of Coach of the Year. And talking to some of the old-time legendary Steelers just reinforced that. Guys like Jack Ham, Mel Blunt, Joe Green I talked to this week about the idea of the Chiefs three-peating. You know, that was the topic. Would they surpass the 70 Steelers? But our conversations wound around to, man, even when you've won one Super Bowl that next season, you are the team that everybody circles. You get everybody's best shot, let alone when you've won two in a row and have played that much football. There is no team over the past 3 years, over the past 5 years, over the past 7 years that has ever played more football games than these Chiefs. No team has ever played more. And I know some of the names change, the roster changes a little bit. But you combine that, the pure physical toll that that takes, with the fact that you are everybody's biggest game of the year, everybody's biggest game. There's a giant target on your backs every week, and you navigate a season by going 15-1. There's never, in my mind, there has never been a more obvious case for Coach of the Year than what Andy Reid has this season. It's phenomenal what that team has done. And they're getting better. You want to add that to, you know, the case for Andy Reid as Coach of the Year. The mark of any good coach is their team gets better as the season goes along. Man, they didn't win one game by more than one score, and then they beat Cleveland 21-7. Okay, some teams do beat Cleveland on the road. Then they beat Houston by 8, which to them is a lot. And then they beat the Steelers by 19, and it could have been 39 if they wanted it to be. They're getting better. He is so easily the NFL's Coach of the Year that it boggles the mind. Dan Campbell, nice. Kevin O'Connell, nice. None of them are contending with what this guy is contending with. And they've had major injuries there, too. And, of course, they're getting healthy now. You saw what Hollywood Brown means to that team. Thanks to the Bills for giving the Chiefs Xavier Worthy. What were they doing in the draft when they moved spots with the Chiefs and gave them Worthy? Kelce looks like himself again. They don't need a running game, although they can probably have one if they want one, because Mahomes' short passing game is a de facto run game. I mean, it's depressing for the rest of the AFC. And I think the only other team, honestly, that can beat them is the Ravens. The Ravens right now look like a really good all-around team. They've gotten healthy on defense. As I said, they added a coach to their staff on defense, Kyle Hamilton. I picked him to be the defensive player of the year. He's not going to be that, but he's starting to play like one. And then Lamar is just, it's ridiculous with Derrick Henry. And now you look around and they've got weapons left and right. Mark Andrews, kind of like Kelce, is finding the fountain of youth a little bit. Those are the two best teams. I watch the Bills play every week. Their defense is an embarrassment. Not just bad, they're embarrassingly bad. Josh Allen could upset one of those other teams if he goes full Michael Jordan, you know, puts up 63 points, so to speak. And even that wasn't enough when Jordan played the Celtics, you'll remember. But Josh Allen, he could beat one of those teams single-handedly. But man, if you're talking who's getting to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, I would bet anything it's going to be Kansas City or Baltimore. Thoughts, Sean?
I still think Buffalo's in that conversation, but it's one of those things where it's hard to say.
Have you seen them play defense lately?
I have, yeah. I do think Allen, to your point, is good enough that he could be better than Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in any given game. That might be enough. The difficult thing is the fact that Kansas City now has that number one seed.
Exactly,
so if this is a situation where KC goes to Buffalo, yes, we've seen them do that. Maybe this would be the year that the Bills get over that hump, but having to win in Kansas City is going to be tough for anyone. You almost have to pick Kansas City until someone beats them, because how many times have we picked against them saying, well, they're finally, you know, they don't have Tyreek Hill this year, so they're not going to go the whole way. Patrick Mahomes is banged up this year. They're off to a rough start, because what were they, 9-6 last year, or I guess 10-7, whatever the record was. It was a mediocre regular season.
Yeah.
They keep overcoming things that it makes people look silly to pick against them. So it doesn't make any sense to pick against them until you know Patrick Mahomes is no longer on that team or out for a playoff game. I cannot pick against them.
I mean, you can just see it. You could see it yesterday. They're the team that's getting healthy. Are you kidding me? They're going to be the most rested team. Are you kidding me? Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid can break down all these potential opponents they're going to have for 2 weeks. You got to go into Arrowhead again. The only thing I see beating them in the AFC is an all-time brilliant individual performance by either Josh Allen or Lamar. Save for that, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl again. It reminds me of the first day of the NFL season. I came in here and depressed everybody the next day because the Chiefs beat the Ravens. You remember that game?
Yeah, that was the the Ravens were out of bounds by 1 inch or whatever it was.
Yeah, I said, canceled the season. This is unbelievable. We're one game in, and I can already see that the Chiefs are going to win again. And I only half believed it was sort of a lark at the time. But, man, now? I mean, you got to go in there and you got to put them away. Kelce looks young again, for God's sakes. They looked great. Man, did you see their locker room after the game?
It almost feels like
they're not sick of winning, I can tell you that. They were pretty excited.
Do you have the feel that they kind of knew how to pace themselves throughout the entire regular season?
Yes, and I've said that. The Penguins have been like that when they were winning in a championship team. I think there's for those kinds of teams, there's a clock that goes off at a certain time in the year when you say it's winning time. And until then, it's almost as if you know, yeah, we're trying. But you can't manufacture the stuff you need in the playoffs for an October game against the Raiders. You can't. We'll win by a field goal or lose by a field goal. We'll go 10-whatever they were last year, 11-6. But when it's time, we know instinctively that it's time. our body clocks know how to win championships, when to rev it up to make a run for a championship. I was always convinced those Penguins teams had that too. Like, all right, it's time now. Here we go. So yeah, I think that's a good point. 412-928-9370 Are the Steelers going to win again this season? And what about this collapse? This collapse that we're in the midst of, evoking horrible nightmares of 2020 when they completely fell apart and were embarrassed at home by Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski wasn't even on the sidelines for that game, for God's sakes. It evokes memories of 2018 when the Steelers had a 2.5-game lead in the division with a month left and folded like a wet paper towel, signified or symbolized more than anything by Rosie Nix signaling first down when they were like 3 yards short on a fake punt, you remember. And Antonio Brown quit. That was an epic collapse that season. And of course, the legendary 2009 Unleash Hell season, where Tomlin promised the Steelers would unleash hell in December. Instead, they lost to, I don't remember, the Browns, the Chiefs, the Raiders. They lost 5 in a row and didn't make the playoffs. So many collapses, so little time. 928-9370 six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Or maybe there's some of you out there, and I wouldn't discount this either, that with time to rally the troops here and time to heal their bodies, the Steelers have one more little run left in them. Is that possible? They come out, they hammer Cincinnati at home and win a playoff game. Would that salvage it for you? Man, I think that would be a pretty good start for me to win a playoff game. I mean, in the end, losing the division, nobody, put it this way. Nobody in Cleveland remembers that the Browns lost the division in 2020, okay? Nobody remembers that. What they remember is coming to Pittsburgh and putting 48 on the Steelers and winning a playoff game, actually winning a playoff game. And while Mike Tomlin has been the star of Netflix for good reason, he's a compelling character. He really is. He flashes up on that screen. You know, the other three guys in the AFC North, the other three coaches, they flash up on the screen and you want to say cut and make them go home, while Tomlin comes off as a movie star. You want to listen to his speeches. You want to go to sleep when any of the other three guys talk. But again, the inconvenient truth is all those guys have won a playoff game more recently than him.